At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Scala Report. Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. Because with war start, the question asked immediately is, how long and what does this mean for the economy, not only of the United States, not only for Europe, but the global economy? We are recovering from a pandemic, if we are. There is expectation of back to the office at various staggered start dates that have been moved from the fall of 21 now to the spring of 22. At the same time, there is caution because the vulnerable, that is my age group, the older members of the cultures across the globe, remain vulnerable and will indefinitely remain vulnerable. So the vaccines are in place and will be used again. We're hearing now about fourth and fifth boosters. However, war start is the center of the attention now. And what does this mean for business? Chris, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. You have business in East Asia. You have business in Western Europe. You have business across the globe. And the B2B that you do connects with retail, with consumer selling, also with other parts of the electronic business, the digital age. I know it is early, but what was your first thought when you heard Mr. Putin's, the report of Mr. Putin's war declaration on Ukraine? And can you tell now from the anticipation of this, what this does for the flow of commerce in a recovery? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Above and beyond the human tragedy and the violation of another state's sovereignty, the challenges that will weigh from this immediately are economic. In parallel to receiving the updates this morning on Mr. Putin's actions, much of our industry was briefed by some of the larger global shippers with immediate notices that shipping rates were going up because oil was spiking again. So this is yet another dampener on the global economy, with stocks down, oil up. And especially within the tech industry, there are many, many, many talented Ukrainians all around the world in the diaspora that are now departing their jobs and heading towards home to assist and support in whatever resistance will be. But economically, this is going to be yet another shock.
The supply chain, that is a major concern for recovery and for the inflation story that is before us. This gets very complicated and I get lost quickly, but the supply chain now, those rates going up on shipping, that means a delay in supply chain recovery. For example, I've been told, pay attention to the butterfly effect, the very famous story, if a butterfly dies in Brazil, does it change world history? The chips have been a major focus, the butterfly of electronics. Can you tell at this point if the supply chain of chips will now be disrupted because of those shipping prices and because of the anxiety of larger war?
So, John, there's a very contrasting thing going on currently, which is concerning and somewhat puzzling. With the slowdown in the global economy, the supply chain constrictions in China are getting better. So you're having greater availability of parts. Things are starting to ease. The flip side to that is China is completely locked up at the moment. Westerners or non-Chinese cannot travel in. Chinese cannot travel out. There's something significant about that because from a business perspective, not being able to engage with the Chinese factories, not being able to be on site and progress within the business is very curious. We're now post-Olympics, but Mr. Xi is keeping all of the walls to the fortress closed. And the fear would be, is that a signal about something larger, re-Taiwan or other, but certainly not a return to normalcy yet.
We must attend to that Taiwan mention of yours, because you know I do a great deal of reporting about East Asia with my colleague Gordon Chang. The debate before this catastrophe fell upon us in an undeniable fashion was that China was watching Ukraine and watching these threats by Moscow, especially these last months, to give it a guide to whether or not it would be tolerated to move on Taiwan. Is your measure that that concern is now front and center of everybody's mind in East Asia, that Taiwan is on, if not the chopping block, that's an inappropriate metaphor, is on watch for Xi Jinping moving in a similar fashion to Moscow?
I think it is on watch, especially in Washington, D.C. With no disrespect to the Ukrainian people, the output of products from Ukraine, whether that be wheat or corn or other ag products, uranium or others, Ukraine is a part of that global economy. But Taiwan is a very different scenario. A vast number of all of the chips and semiconductor that are made for use in automobiles, home electronics, etc., are made in Taiwan. The Taiwanese are masters at chip making. Should the Chinese move on Taiwan, there is an immediate and strategic global economic problem there of immense proportion, because the global supply chain would be incredibly disrupted and impacted should all chip manufacturing in Taiwan shut down. And that impacts from the Ford F-150 to the F-35 fighter, it would be disastrous for the economy.
There's very little positive news to find in these last hours, but the one piece that I wanted to focus on, and but for the war start, would have been our center, is the back-to-the-office trend that is in place here in the East Coast of the United States, and I hear it from Los Angeles as well. You observe all of the cities in between, and you're very wired into the business-to-business of back-to-work. Is that trend in place now? Are we seeing uniform return to the office and a reawakening of hospitality and services?
It's starting to happen slowly, but what is somewhat surprising, even in the parts of the country that have declared the virus over for some period of time, people are not yet returning to work in mass, and companies are not pushing them yet to return in mass. So I think everyone is hedging their bets. On the company side, they're looking at where they can drive more efficiency, maybe reduce costs through downsizing, because if we're staring down the mother of all recessions, potentially, based on a number of factors, companies want to be able to be light and agile through that if needed. But that return to the office benefits the employee as much as the employer, as you're seeing millennials saying, hey, we may never want to go back to the office. That's really to their detriment, because they don't have the opportunity to learn the soft skill sets and learn from mentors within those environments quite as well.
Some years passed. Prior to the pandemic, we had a lengthy conversation over many weeks about WeWork and that spectacular failure of the IPO and the big promises of what WeWork would do to the office and to the way of work. But however, here we are on the other side of the pandemic, if we are. And I note that in the Financial Times, an observation of the third way, which sounds a whole lot like a junior WeWork. That is, you're not at home. You're not in the office. You're at a watering hole somewhere in between with baristas and a very good internet, someplace that you can walk to or easily reach from your home. Are you seeing reports of the third way of these professional office spaces that provide opportunities for the knowledge workers?
For sure. There's been quite an uptick in people with what has been known as home fatigue or Zoom fatigue. The ability to meet at a Starbucks, the ability to meet at a drop-in office or conference room and work through problems is very much rising. That being said, it's still not that substitute for people being back in that structured office environment, but it is one of those middle ground paths that does seem to be emerging.
Travel through the airports, which you do routinely. Is there evidence that that's picked up?
The hubs are active, but everyone's still masked, and the question around how long that will remain is still open.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. I'm John Batchelor.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.